Are you getting a new kitchen, but your townhouse needs defunkifying? You better call Paul.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Hi.
Hey, wonderful. Welcome to Calls with Paul. We've talked before, just to start off where we left off. I looked at pictures of your kitchen, and we talked about it a little bit, and actually, you would had similar thoughts from ones I had.
Right.
Now you've sent me your floor plan that I'm looking at. I'm looking at it, and let me just ask you a few questions. Like, one thing that came up when we talked about your design before was venting your hood outside, and then you're in a condo type community, so you're worried that they're not going to allow you to do that. Are you in like an attached home, the side of your kitchen that has the stove on it? That's not an exterior. Yes. Is that an exterior wall or is that?
That is not. No, it's not an exterior wall.
And then it's not an exterior wall anywhere along there. So how are they venting out the dryer, for example?
Yeah. So if you, and you can look at it and see it for yourself if you still have the Zillow or whatever listing up.
Uh-huh.
The pictures in the back show it. So in between the balconies, mm-hmm. or whatever they're called, there are the dryer vents, and they're like very visible from the water side.
So it's like, going out the over your deck that's on the front of the house.
Exactly. Yes. Well, sort of next to it. Yeah. And I was reading it. We had talked about whether or not I would be able to hook into that, mm-hmm. and apparently I cannot because of the fire potential, like with the grease that would be coming from the oven.
You have to talk to a plumber. Also, it depends on how far away that you're connecting to this.
Right. Yeah. So it's not very far. It's probably maybe
we have to go through.
Feet.
Yeah, you have to go through the whole den to get to the outside deck area, right?
So I put a call in to the HOA, but I haven't heard back about whether or not I could add an external, you know.
Yeah, so if they're...
They don't care what I do internally. They'll only care about how it affects the outside appearance. And so, you know, if it's possible to do, I would probably add something, you know, that just goes below wherever that vent is through the wall, if that's possible. Or I could do something
side by
behind
side.
The cabinet. Like behind the cabinetry and like run something out, like if I built like a banquette over the, like behind the kitchen in that breakfast nook area, I could run it, you know, down there.
You could also have a soffit, right? That wouldn't be that obtrusive if it came down 6 inches or whatever from the ceiling, and only in your design, you have that wall that we have to the left of your stove that we don't really know what's in it right now.
Well, there's sprinkler. You mean the one that sticks out?
One that has a sprinkler in it. So you got the sprinkler lines, but mm-hmm. moving them, or you could also maybe make that wall shallower. And then if it was 1 foot deep instead of 27 inches deep, then you could mm-hmm. have the, you could maybe even move the sprinkler to the soffit that's going across. But the whole thing.
Yeah, I have a feeling that I'm not going to be able to move the sprinklers. Because of, you know, fire codes and all that kind of stuff. And there's a sprinkler that's pointed toward the breakfast nook and a sprinkler pointed toward the kitchen. So I would have to figure out a way to get sprinklers, you know, going either direction. And I just have a feeling that it would be really, really hard to get to change that. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to need that. But of course, I definitely will ask, and that would affect things dramatically if I could move that. But
yeah, I wouldn't
have a feeling I'm not going to be able to move anything based on, like, I've seen a lot of other units and nobody's really made a lot of like major changes.
I would tell you I would tell you that homeowners are very resistant to making changes. So generally people don't change anything. You know, they don't necessarily realize the benefits of making the change. So I couldn't.
You mean the HOAs are resistant?
No, the homeowners themselves. That
I'm fine with doing it.
And the contractors too, right? The homeowners and the contractor are resistant.
Yeah.
So generally
I'm just afraid the HOA will probably say no, and that I wouldn't get the certificate of occupancy issued if I didn't do it exactly right and all that
stuff. Well, you have to do everything right, but it shouldn't make a difference. You got to get up to the ceiling to do these things. But then once you're in the ceiling, I don't know why these sprinklers actually work better from a ceiling location than they work from a wall location. So,
well, they're currently on the wall, on that little wall on either side.
Well, they work better in the ceiling than they do in the wall. So
yeah, and I could do the ceiling because, you know, we own the floor above. So I could do something like that. But I don't know. I'll find out. But in the meantime, I don't honestly, I'm feeling kind of hopeless.
Well, I would tell you that the reason that they're in the wall is only because people are lazy. That's why they're in the wall. And moving into the ceiling, they work better when they're in the ceiling. And as long as everything is according to building code, then the HOA shouldn't, and it's interior to your home, that's not something that the HOA should really be involved in, I wouldn't think.
Right.
The smaller that wall becomes, even if you had to have the lines get up to the ceiling, and you could reduce the depth of that wall to 12 inches from 27 inches, that's a huge difference. Because you're going to have your...
I could wrap counter around it, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Then you could have countertop come around it, but also it wouldn't be obscuring the countertop and anybody that was sitting there and everything else. The whole design is going to work better with that change.
Yeah.
You know, venting your stove outside is something that might certainly be a problem if they're not going to let you put another hole underneath your deck, essentially.
In the siding, yeah, exactly.
Right. Is there a deck on the floor above?
No, there's not.
When you're standing on the deck, this dryer vent is staring at you above your head to the right.
To the right, yeah. You can. It's on the wall in between the decks. Like,
There's a couple of different designs that sort of work. The first thing I think you want to do, too, is rip out your pantry closet and make it a pantry cabinet. Because if you make it a pantry cabinet, the advantage of that is going to be that now you can have a panel on the left side of your refrigerator, if your refrigerator is going to stay in that location, and then a wall cabinet over the top that would be flush with the face of the pantry, and your whole refrigerator area is going to be built in, and the refrigerator door, if you get a counter depth refrigerator, both refrigerator doors, if you got a side-by-side, the freezer and the refrigerator, if you got a French door refrigerator, both the doors will open all the way. The problem you have when you have a pantry closet, when you put moldings on top of your cabinets, either the moldings die into the pantry cabinet, which looks the best, and then your refrigerator has to be pulled forward past all this molding and everything, and it sticks out much farther. I think you want a counter refrigerator. And then if you switch to a pantry cabinet, the whole thing will be built in looking and the molding will die into the wall that, you know, is the laundry room wall instead of having
before
this.
Before, you were saying that it might be advantageous to put my refrigerator on the other side, on that wall that's on.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of that. That's one of the different designs that's a possibility. If you keep your refrigerator where it sort of is, that's what I would do with that particular space. If you're going to move your refrigerator over to the other side and you're going to do like an L-shaped kitchen coming off where your stove is now, then, you know, if your L is coming off that side, maybe one way to do it that might sort of give you some pantry storage and look a little bit built in is you get rid of the whole sink area if you're looking at your floor plan, and you put your refrigerator sunk half 12 inches into the face of the powder room so that the box of the refrigerator is going to stick 12 inches proud of the powder room wall. And then the powder room wall, you'll put a 12 inch deep pantry on the powder room wall. And then you'll build a wall on the back of the refrigerator that will pretty much be, you know, around the same distance in as maybe the wall is, almost a little bit, even probably in from where it is now, where the wall is now. And then you'd have your refrigerator and then you put a panel on the side of the refrigerator, and you could actually have some countertop after that too. after your refrigerator coming out. If your refrigerator and these cabinets are coming out 12 inches, then your countertop could come out. Maybe what you'd want to end around the same place as just like your sort of your angle countertop ends sort of around the same place as your little wall comes out ends. This countertop could end also sort of around a similar place. And then,
yeah, that would be great.
If you really wanted to hide this countertop a little bit better from the great room, you could make it what it is now. It's a half wall coming up now, isn't it? I don't remember the pictures, but it is in the picture drawn as a half wall coming up in back of your sink.
It's a breakfast bar or whatever you call it. It's a countertop.
Elevated. It's a little bit higher than your sink.
Yes. Yes, it's the two level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you could put a wall in back of the countertop that's there. That would help hide any appliances that you put on the countertop there, or a coffee maker. People wouldn't be staring at everything that was on the countertop that was on the refrigerator.
So question to you then: would the countertop there then be like the width of the fridge?
If you had the half wall would come right out from where the back wall of the refrigerator would be, and then the countertop would come out. You know, usually you want the panel on the side of your refrigerator to be maybe 26 inches deep instead of 24, so that the countertop dies into the panel that will be on the left side of the refrigerator here. Then what you would do is either make your pantry cabinets 2 inches deeper, make them 14 inches deep instead of 12, and then the wall cabinet that's over the refrigerator, you'd pull that forward 2 inches, you know, put a 2x4 and some blocking in back, so that when you hung that cabinet, it was flush with the pantries that were now 14 inches deep instead of 12. And then the panel on the refrigerator closes the refrigerator in, and then the base cabinets are 24 inches deep. And then the reason that we're doing this is also that your countertop dies into the panel on the left side of the refrigerator.
But you mean on the left side or the right side?
The panel dives into the right side of the refrigerator on the left.
Okay. Just to make sure I'm picturing this correctly.
I'm going to hand draw it for you too, if whatever arrive at.
But the fridge itself will sit back of the powder room wall by however many inches, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the wall would come out from whatever it is, say, I don't know, something like 12 inches or whatever, from the powder room wall, come halfway out and then die at the panel on the right side of the fridge. And then the countertop would be behind a half wall.
Yeah.
Or in front of.
Countertop, you're going to take out all the cabinetry that's there now. You're going to build the wall.
Right.
Essentially, you're going to build the wall.
Right.
Say it's 12 inches back, or you could build the wall 14 inches back if you wanted to. And then you could do 12-inch pantry cabinets. It's whatever you decide. But you build a wall, and it's a full wall, full height of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And then it actually, I think what you're going to want it to do is actually come out, make it a little bit longer than the refrigerator, because you're going to want molding on top of these cabinets, and you're going to want the molding to die into the wall. So the wall will actually stick out a little bit past the level of the refrigerator. Once it gets 3 inches past the refrigerator panel, it's going to change from a wall going floor to the ceiling to suddenly become a wall that's only 42 inches high.
Okay.
And then it continues out 42 inches at the 42-inch height until you get to the distance where you want your base cabinets and your countertops and everything to stop.
Okay, got it. So then on the other side, I would be making an L shape.
The other side, you're going to be making an L, and then
if I can at least reduce that wall, like you were saying, to 12 inches, then I can wrap that countertop around that wall. How far into the breakfast nook do you think I would go?
So part of it is also your budget. So your deck right now, I'm trying to understand your deck. I guess that's a sliding door from the breakfast nook out to the deck.
Yes, and
From the great room, is that just a window looking out onto the deck?
No deck. It's window. Oh, the window on the deck. Yeah, that's a window looking onto the deck.
From the great
room. And then the great room is like a double height, ceiling thing.
Well, okay. But it's a window.
Like enough, there's nothing above it.
When you're in the great room, there's a window looking out onto the deck. It's not another door.
Yes.
Okay. So the reason I just asked that is, and then what do you have where that window is? Is that how, depending on how you furnished it, is there a chair in front of that window or a couch in front of that window or what's in front of that?
We haven't decided yet, but I have a feeling that we'll get a sectional sofa that's going to go along the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to really sort of figure out how big you want your table in your breakfast nook. And you definitely want to figure these things out in advance, right? You don't want to be buying cabinets and us stealing some of your breakfast nook and then you planning on getting a really big table in your breakfast nook and it not working. So
yeah, we don't want a big table, just a small table. So what I was wondering about was like building like a banquette either along that wall or something like that behind the L. Is that something that would be advisable or no?
Well, the problem with banquettes is that first off, they're not inexpensive because someone has to build them.
Right.
And then and then if you're sitting at this banquette, then because you have the sliding door, the banquette that you're building is only going to have people slipping into one side. So the side that they slip into will be the wall to the right, the same wall that the stove is on. It's not really going to look very much like a banquette. It's going to really be more just a bench that goes along that wall. And then the question is, what kind of table do you have? So
we're buying all new furniture for this place, so we can buy whatever we want.
So if your goal is to make your kitchen cabinetry as big as possible,
it's actually not, and I'll tell you why. I don't really own a lot of stuff. I'm very minimalist, and so I don't need a ton of storage. But like I told you before, whatever I have, I want to be more at my fingertips. So it's really important to me to maximize my storage around my workspaces and not put it somewhere else because that doesn't really help me.
Okay.
So I don't need a ton of cabinets. Whatever I can store my excess, my leftover stuff in the butler's pantry, and but the functionality of the kitchen is so important to me. Like that's all I really care about is being able to work. And so like for me, it's like maximizing counter space and making sure that, my work area is, just a step or two at the most from each other so that I can actually cook.
When you maximize countertop space, you're also maximizing base cabinets because, countertop goes top of the base cabinets. So if you give yourself more countertop, In order to do that, you're going to expand how much cabinetry you have. So,
I was kind of thinking about not having too many uppers. I mean, there aren't that many there now, but I don't think I need more than like what's there because all I really need to do is put my dishes and cups and stuff in there.
If you do end up with more than you have now, it would only be where the pantry was, one extra cabinet, essentially. All the wall cabinets that you're going to be getting are just going to be on the one wall that...
Right. Well, let me ask you this. What if I do the thing that you're saying, which I absolutely love, moving the refrigerator over to the other side and putting a pantry there. So I eliminate the whole area where it says, refrigerator and pantry, and that's just countertop, but with an expanded cooktop because I want a larger cooktop than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I had just countertop to the right of the cooktop?
If you want to do that too, you can leave your pantry closet as it is, which isn't a bad idea because now if you wanted to have a mop or a broom or anything else, you'll have pantry cabinets that are going to be making your refrigerator look built in on the backside of your powder room. And then that pantry closet could be a good place for mops and brooms and things like that.
I would rather just get rid of it and have that whole thing be a countertop.
You can do that too. If you made that whole thing a countertop coming down, you could even do something like have floating shelves or nothing towards the end.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I really, my main goal here is to get it functioning. And for me to be functioning, I need an expanse of countertop, like that's bigger than anything I see here. So you know, because I need to be able to lay out everything while I'm cooking, you know, all of my bowls, all of my ingredients, you know.
So if that's the goal is to maximize countertop, then get rid of your pantry because you're going to have the pantry closets on the backside of your powder room. Slide your stove down, have a bunch of countertop and drawers and things on the right side of your cooktop. Is it going to be just a freestanding range?
So I would prefer to do, you know, a wall-based double oven, but I think I've talked myself into just doing a range.
If you got
real happy with that idea, but I mean, if you can find a place to put double ovens and still give me a big countertop, then that's fine. But I don't see it.
Well, your double ovens would essentially go exactly where your pantry is, your pantry closet is now, and then your refrigerator is gone. So then your cooktop is going to move down and your cooktop can get bigger. And then you're going to have more countertop on the right and on the left of your cooktop. And then your sink is going to go in the L.
Right. Oh, if the sink goes in the L, does it just go like centered, like right next to the countertop? And if so, then what happens with the base cabinet that's there right now? Like, you can't open it because the dishwasher and the sink and everything will be right there, right?
Well, you're going to turn the corner. And then also part of this too is how much you're going to recess your refrigerator into that wall. So let's say you did the 12 inches. That's going to leave you like here. I'm just marking it on the thing. And then we really can't get any closer to this, these base cabinets and countertop and everything else that's there. We got to leave you really 3 feet at least.
Just there's way more than 3 feet between the fridge and the...
No, I'm going to mark 3 feet off. So if I give you 3 feet, that's going to come to here. And then you're going to be able to turn the corner of this L. But this whole plan, by the way, really isn't a great plan if you can't get rid of that wall to some extent, right?
Because Oh, totally. Yeah.
If you can't get rid of that wall, then anybody that's maybe going to sit on the back end of the countertop is going to be facing the wall and everything else. But assuming you can, you're going to have the dishwasher, then you're going to have a sink cabinet, and it's going to be a 24-inch sink base. And then the corner here is going to be a blind base. Do you know what a blind base is?
I don't.
A blind base is a base that's sort of undesirable. It's where you have to open the door in the base cabinet and then reach all the way back to get into the corner. So there's not really... Once you're turning the corner, when we're adding your refrigerator here, you can make this whole length of cabinetry longer if you recess your refrigerator more and more into your great room. You know, at some point you could move your whole refrigerator into the great room, not have any of the pantry cabinets I was talking about on the powder room, and just recess the refrigerator into your great room with the wall in back of it, and then have the base cabinets and everything else. But, you know, you'll be sacrificing and making your great room a little less, a little smaller. And
that's fine, because that space in the great room is just completely dead space.
So if you do that and you don't really, you're saying you don't really care too much about the pantry, added pantry space. So you'll save the pantry cabinets, which are the most expensive cabinets in your kitchen. Well, now your now your L can grow another whole foot. And so then once the L grows another whole foot, you know, you could really recess your refrigerator into that space, because right now you have that space has the overhang and seating there, right? If you recess your refrigerator pretty far back into the great room, you could put like a desk area or something like that on the back of the refrigerator wall.
And,
and then you could make your L longer and longer and longer and longer. And then as it gets longer, at some point, you're going to have plenty of room to put a Lazy Susan in that corner. When you turn the corner, then have your then have your dishwasher and a panel on the end of your dishwasher. It really comes down to inches. Like if I'm looking at your measurements. So let's see. And then we left you 2 feet, two here, three. Yeah, I mean, you at some point, you're probably going to be able to have a panel on the side of the dishwasher, a normal single bowl sink, and maybe even get a trash can on the right side of you. And then your Lazy Susan. depending on how much you want to sink your refrigerator back into the great room.
The deeper
you sink your refrigerator, the sure. better the
right.
peninsula that you get is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the
yes,
better they
are. Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
then
and I think that's fine. But question for you. So I know that so the wall on the opposite side of the powder room, does that just look like blank and weird that there's nothing on it?
You mean the new wall you're building in back of the refrigerator?
No. The wall on the opposite side of the powder room where we were saying if we built a pantry, we could be flush with a fridge that was partially set into the great room. So if we removed those pantry cabinets there, mm-hmm. What does anything go on that wall or is it just a blank wall?
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that it is now. It's just a blank wall, right?
Right. Okay. Because, I mean, it kind of feels like it's just useless space, but I guess, you know. There's nothing you can do about it because it would look weird to like put a countertop there or something, right?
No, you couldn't. Yeah, we'd be sticking out. The one thing you could do to make the powder room wall look a little bit better is uh-huh. in the drawing, it looks like the powder room is just a room in itself. And that when you come down the hallway that the powder room mm-hmm. is in, that there's no uh-huh. door or anything. It's just the hallway is just a regular hallway, right?
The
hallway from the kitchen to the powder room, there's no like door there, right? You know, and there's no doorway even. It's just a drywall because the ceiling goes just flush going everywhere. So this is sort of counterintuitive, but it looks much nicer if you were to take the powder room wall and build the wall straight across to the linen closet and then just put a doorway in that wall. Right now, there'll be a doorway in the wall and the mm-hmm. ceiling over the doorway will be closed in, but it will make the mm-hmm. powder room area, first off, look less lonely and also mm-hmm. like your powder room door is less like it's in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, when you're looking at it in real life, it doesn't look like it's in the kitchen.
It's definitely not in the kitchen. It totally is not in the kitchen at all. But when you have to go through a doorway to get to it, it's like that much less in the kitchen. So
maybe.
You know, and certainly
I like the free flow of not having a door, you know, like door anywhere though. I like just being able to move around.
Well, it wouldn't be a door. It's a doorway.
Oh.
So you wouldn't
you mean like a cased opening?
Yeah, like a cased opening. So you just make it a cased opening so that you wouldn't really, it wouldn't restrict anybody or anything else. But the thing
that
you did it at the cased opening,
now
the whole back of the powder room wall and over the doorway is all going to be flush. You know, instead of the powder room wall being so sort of lonely, it's just this 3-foot wall that sits by itself. Now it's connected to another thing that extends all the way down to the linen closet. And it just makes the powder room look, you know, it doesn't look like you got this powder room stuck in the middle of the floor plan of the house. It's really part of another wall.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
You know, what you do is you have a kitchen designer do it and show it to you in 3D. And then you take a look at it if you like it.
Yeah.
You know, there will be no door there. You wouldn't be restricting movement or anything else. It would just be making that wall sort of more like it was built in with the rest of the walls in the house. I don't know, on the powder room, went from the doorway opening from the great room to the powder room, it shows it as a little tiny wall on the left and another little tiny wall on the right, on mm-hmm. the back and on the side of the powder room. I'm thinking that they drew that wrong. Is that a doorway going there? Or is it just two little nubs of walls that go up to the ceiling?
I think it's just nubs of wall.
So
because you're going into the double height room when you pass those nubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure. Hold on,
I would tell you too that will look way better as well is if you connected those walls and had it be a doorway instead of just the ceiling continue into the great room until it goes to a different height, right?
Yeah, let me look at it to make sure that I'm telling you the right thing. Yeah, it's just, oh no, there's a, There is an it's like a
it's an opening.
There is a, like a case. There is a case opening there. There's
not even cased. It just it's got a wall going across the top. So that that looks better that way, right? Just the fact that it's a doorway and it connects the two walls.
Right.
So that that's what I'm talking
about. It is a doorway that connects the two walls,
Right. So that looks better than having two nubs. So that's what I'm saying is if they're not showing it that way on your floor plan, but that's the that's a nicer way to do it the way they did it. And that what I'm suggesting is doing the same thing in the with the powder room wall to connect those
two. I'm trying to find that wall to see if there is the same thing. You know what I mean? But
what do you mean by looking at the
well, since it's not online, but
yeah, since there's
when I was there,
since there's not a nub, since there's not a nub there, I'm pretty sure that you'll find that there isn't a doorway. People are lazy, so when they show the nubs, the person that was lazy was the architect that did the drawing, right? He didn't draw it as an opening; he just put nubs in.
Yeah.
And then when they show it the other way without the nubs, we know that it's pretty much it would be less work just to not have a doorway there. So they probably didn't put one in. So
yeah, hold on. I'm looking right now, trying to find, and I found my pictures. Let me see if I can find. Yeah, it's just an opening.
It's just an opening. So you can have the.
Yeah, it's just an opening.
You know, it's no work for a kitchen designer. So when we're doing this on our computers, we just put the doorway.
But if I made that space pantry space like we were talking about before, and that would make it flush with the wall to the left of it, then that might look nicer. If I could just do all of that in one and bring the ceiling down at the same time, right?
What do you mean bring the ceiling down?
Oh, to make the...
Doorway. Yeah. I mean, although, you know what? It's less important to do it when you have the pantries. If you put the pantries on the wall, then you're going to have the refrigerator and then the cabinet over the refrigerator and the panel on the side of the refrigerator, all building that whole thing in. So it's really less important. The only reason I was suggesting it is because you brought it up and you're right. The powder room wall is a little bit lonely by itself. It's not going to be a lonely thing when you have you put the pantries on, if that's what you do.
Except for if I do the pantry and I only recess the fridge into the great room, then I don't get that space for my lazy Susan, like you were saying.
That's so true. There's always something bad. There's always something bad that you get when we give you something good, right? You don't get nothing for free.
Why is that?
That's how it
works. You need to fix that. So question for you then also, how large of a refrigerator could I have, do you think there?
You know, you want to get the biggest refrigerator that you can fit. And you probably also, if you're willing to take up more of your great room, you can also make it full depth refrigerator.
Full, yes. Yeah,
and then make it look like it's a counter depth refrigerator by pulling the cabinet over the refrigerator out. So then you would get a 36 inch refrigerator that was full depth, and you'd pull your refrigerator cabinet above forward 6 inches. And then the panel on the side of the refrigerator would be 30 inches deep instead of 26 inches or whatever deep. That actually, if you did do that, and you made your pantry cabinets 12, the countertop after the refrigerator would be falling back, you know, another 5 or 4.5 inches already because the refrigerator was so deep, right?
Okay.
So that
I'm not quite sure I'm getting that.
So
I'm not sure I'm understanding that.
I can draw that. I'll draw that one in. If you did that version gets you the most cabinets. It probably gets you the Lazy Susan in the corner. It gets you the sink, then the dishwasher in the L. But your trash can cabinet is going to have to be like after the Lazy Susan on the stove run.
That's okay. That doesn't bother me.
Or it actually could go under the countertop too, over by the refrigerator.
That does bother me.
Okay. So but either one of those
things. I don't want to have to walk across the room to get to my garbage.
Yeah, because if it's a one person cooking, then it makes it easier for you on the stove side. And then So do you think you want to do it with a cooktop and double ovens? Or one thing about to think about is cooktops and double ovens cost-wise costs about exactly the same as getting a professional range. So
yeah, however, I mean, I'm less concerned about the, sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, however, if you're getting the professional range, it's maybe more important to vent it outside.
Yeah.
Well, it's not maybe. Well, it is more important to vent it.
Well, I mean, it's more important no matter what. I mean, it's going to be horrible if I can't vent it. I don't even know how that would work. I mean, like, do those air circulator things even work? The 400 whatever?
What they do is they capture the grease, and the grease gets caught in the filter. So at least you're not spreading grease all over your house, but they're not getting rid of smoke and they're not getting rid of smells.
So like your whole house is just constantly full of smoke. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it also too is there's new studies that just came out that suggest that all these us breathing all the gas fumes is not a good thing too. So all the gas fumes and everything
byproducts.
Else, that byproducts you're inhaling. So if you have a hood, all those stuffs are eliminated.
I've never not had a hood, so I don't know what it's like to cook without a hood. I imagine it's horrible though. So.
Yeah, you know, it's way better. I mean, I just.
Yeah. Where would I put a microwave in this scenario? I didn't even think about that.
Well, if you got the double oven scenario or the
room
scenario.
That's true. Yes, that fixes that. Okay.
In the double oven.
The double oven is better.
Yeah, with the double oven, what you'd do is you'd put the. Maybe a speed oven that would be a second oven and a microwave above your oven.
Yeah.
And if you did the range version and you made it a 36 inch range, then you can't put a microwave hood above it. I mean, if you got a 30 inch range, you're going to save a fortune. And then you could have a microwave hood over the top, and a microwave hood can vent outside. So your microwave hood right now doesn't, but it can vent outside and it will be 390 CFMs, and it would just vent up through the cabinet, up into over the tops of the cabinets, down, and then outside, somewhere, depending on where they let you vent it. If they left, they let you.
Is that the only, like? Do you have to have a vent? Is the microwave vent your only option, or is there any other option that's better than having a microwave above your?
Well, you could also have your double ovens. You could have a hood, and you could put your microwave underneath. If you got a range instead of the double ovens, then you could put your microwave under the countertop in a microwave drawer. That would be a good place for, and you could have a hood over your range that vented outside. Mm-hmm. And then you could also have a drawer that your microwave.
What I'm asking, what I mean is, if you don't have your microwave over your range or cooktop or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. What are your other options if you can't vent outside? Is there some other apparatus that does just the grease and recirculates the air that isn't under a microwave?
Oh yeah, there's hoods that are self-venting too. So you could have and it would go through a filter and it would go outside, but it would really not be any different than the microwave version.
So if I do, so then I think my preference would be to do the double oven with one of them being, you know, a quick cook, like you were saying, and a microwave in the pantry area, current pantry area, and then doing a cooktop with a vent with a self-circulating vent over that.
It's not a horrible thing adding another vent either on your deck on the front or on your deck on the back. I mean, that doesn't really destroy the neighborhood. And
well, yeah, but, you know, I can't do anything about it if they say no, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, but I, you know what? I would say, especially with all these new studies about the gas and everything.
That I know.
You're poisoning yourself. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Aren't you guys on the board sort of worried that someone's going to sue you because you're people to do something that we realize now causes cancer and not letting just them put it in very inobtrusive tiny vent in the side of their house? I don't know.
Right.
If I said that maybe in the board meeting, right? If you said that something.
Yeah, like, well, yeah.
But I mean, I don't. Suddenly a little bit more conscious of the litigious nature of the, yeah, the negative. Yeah. When you not don't allow people to do the thing that's the most safe.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Then, but for all I know, they've already, somebody else has already fought that fight and it's already been, you know,
determined. Yeah.
So I just need to find out, you know, basically.
Yeah. So you have to find
I can't
out.
Imagine that somebody else hasn't tried this already. So, and for all I know, they've been successful and it's already been done. So,
that's true too.
You know, it might be for design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So then, if I can do the reduce to 12, if I can't reduce that wall though, and I can't, you know, wrap countertop around that wall, then I just have to stop at the wall and bring my L, my peninsula out from there, right? And in that case, it would probably be best then to completely recess the fridge into the great room and have more room just in general, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also
put artwork on that powder room wall or something.
Well, the other thing that you could do too is, if you can't get rid of that, do you? What happens with the countertop that you might have coming out? Maybe you put a base cabinet on the wall in the corner, because who's going to sit there facing a wall, right? I don't know. So you could have.
Wait. Why is anyone facing a wall? Oh, you mean if they're sitting at a countertop?
If they're sitting at a, like when you do your L, are you going to have them sitting at a countertop? I would think so.
Right. Well, see, that's why I thought that perhaps a banquette that's an L-shaped banquette might work there. Because
then
you're
talking about
a
banquette against, I see what you're talking about, is a banquette off of the wall of the peninsula.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that does work. So if you did that, then that all works if you did it off the peninsula. Now you get the banquette, and banquettes save space.
So then I can push the table toward the corner as opposed to how, and then the pathway to the deck is a lot better.
Well, no,
right now it's not so great.
The bench of the banquette is going to be against the wall that you're
right.
So your table can't move. Your table is forced to be up against the banquette. So you're going to
So it gets completely out of the way of the pathway from the great room to the deck.
Yes, it does. But it gets out of the way so much that it's totally wasting space, right? You're going to be very far away from the doorway if you can't move this thing. You know what?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. The way they have it set up right now, it's a fairly small table with four chairs around it. And you have to shimmy to get between the chairs and the fireplace to get to the deck. And it's kind of bothering me, and it bothers my husband especially. So,
and the table, does the table go?
Well, right now it's just in the middle of that little space of the breakfast nook.
So,
I was thinking if I built the banquette and that way I could push the table a little bit further to the right and down, then it clears a better path to get to the deck.
And is the door to the deck that opens the one on the left?
It's a slider.
It's a slider. Is it the left side that slides?
Oh, you know what? Hold on. I'm not actually sure. That might be the reason why we're frustrated by it. Let's see. No, it slides from the left. The left is the one. So it slides from left to right.
So that's good. So if you didn't do any of this with the banquette, the way to make your breakfast area work much better would be to get a rectangular table that seats six, and then you would only have it sit five. You would take that table and you would push it up against the same wall that the stove is on, so that you'd sit two with their backs to the deck, two with their backs to the kitchen, one on the end. And because you're not trying to leave space on both sides now, suddenly you gain 30.
Oh, I see.
You gain 30 inches.
I see.
And you stay. Okay.
You stay, so it's like
you're
making like
a fireplace. Right.
You're making like a peninsula out of your table.
You're making a peninsula out of your table. And then what you do is you move the light fixture so that it's centered over the table, the new location of the table. And that makes it all look normal. And that makes your fireplace normal.
If you can make that fireplace normal. That fireplace is so weird. God,
but it works.
I would take
better.
It out if I could. But and you don't think it would look weird to have the new peninsula table parallel with the peninsula of the kitchen? That wouldn't be
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, what you would have is you'd have the peninsula table along there, because they're going to come out two. Let me just measure.
Yeah.
So that it's going to end really far away from the fireplace. And and so you'll have plenty of room to get past it to get to the seating. And then in a perfect world, what I do is I have countertop in back of the kitchen sink that you're sitting at. So now you have a stool area that you can sit at.
Oh, so you would do both?
I would do both, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that idea.
Because the alternative, if you can't move this wall, if you do build the banquette, which I like, the only problem is you're going to be like 7 feet from the doorways, right? You're going to be pushed back. If I was going to do that with the banquette, you take your wall that it the way it is now, and you're going to have to move one of the sprinkler heads. You're going to have to move the sprinkler head that's facing into the breakfast nook, but maybe make the wall an extra a foot thick instead of 6 inches, or maybe just move the wall. If you could even move the, if they said, oh, you have to have a wall there. If you move the wall, the banquette all works much better if you're just use more of the space.
Oh, yes. Right. So if I have to have a wall to put the sprinklers in, you're right. If I move it, back, that would have all the sprinklers in it still, but I just diminish the breakfast nook a little bit. I could have more counter space and blah, blah, blah. And then the banquette would make sense if that's what I chose to do.
Yeah. That's what you want to do with all of these things is we, you know, I always say we're trying to defunkify people's houses. So
right. And then
look like they belong. So,
and then it almost makes the fireplace sort of more enclose that area like a cozy nook, and that makes the fireplace make more sense.
It does all those things. So, I mean, I really like the banquette, but only the one thing I don't like for me, it just freaks me out when I see stuff that looks like what it is, that looks like, oh, we wanted a banquette, but look, it just created this big 6 foot dead space.
Right,
sort of funny, well, right? If all of a sudden moves and it looks like it all belongs, it looks like, you know, it looks like your house was designed for the thing that you have. And that's the best.
Right. And then the other reason, I think originally, the reason why I originally got the banquette idea was because I thought that that would be a place where I could hide event. If I had to run event, if I couldn't run event through the wall, I could run it, you know, down and then behind the banquette and out.
I guess, yeah. If your banquette went the whole length, you could run it through
the whole length.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, it's a thought. Anyway,
maybe what you would do, even with the banquette, is you could have the banquette come down a length, and then when it got to the very end, you could even have a base cabinet or something like that.
Yes.
You could put something on it. It could run underneath that.
Yep. That makes total sense. Yeah. I like that too.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
A bunch of work to do to figure out what they'll let you do.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's always the hardest part. Hey, and also, you know, you said that our area was a dead zone for your business. But I did find one that was pretty close. So I'm going to call them and see what they say.
Okay.
I mean, like you said, you've never actually like worked with these people. Like you just critique their Pinterest. Is that what it is?
Their house pages. Their house page.
Yeah.
If they're on our list, then what we did was first we looked at their house designs and made sure that they didn't show any mistakes. Surprisingly, 80% of the kitchen companies show kitchen design mistakes on their house page. So they're already in the top 20%, in my opinion, just by not showing problems and mistakes. So then once they got past that hurdle, then we went on their website and we looked at what cabinet brands they carried. And generally, they had to carry at least a couple of cabinet brands that we thought were good brands. That eliminates some other people. And then we looked at their reviews, like their Google reviews and their reviews on maybe Yelp and places like that. Houzz, everybody gets good reviews. Nobody gets bad reviews on Houzz simply because you sort of invite people to review you and you wouldn't really invite anybody that wasn't going to be happy. But anybody that wants to can in the world can post on Google. So,
got it. You know, got it. Yes. Yeah.
People are unhappy. They're going to do it. So,
yeah. This place is like a chain of places called Builders General, it looks like. And, but they have a location in Little Silver, New Jersey, which is pretty close to where we're going to be moving. So I thought maybe I could try that. Okay. Then I'll try that with your blessing.
Yeah. I would say the thing about a location like that is, because it's Builders something, they're probably going to have a whole nice array of cabinet brands that they carry. So you're going to have lots of choices for good cabinets. They're also going to be reasonable for cabinets. So you're going to have brands that are nice brands that are well constructed. They'll also be reasonable, probably. Your biggest challenge is going to be that some of the designers that work there are not going to be particularly good. So
your job, if
you're working with them, is maybe to call them up and say, who's the most experienced designer that you have working here? Because that's also why they can maybe not have mistakes on their house page.
Sure.
Because the person that's reviewing it is the guy that's the smart guy, or woman,
exactly.
I should say. Yeah. The smart person is making sure they're not putting any bad stuff up on their house page. But then that's not the person that you could be working with, because it's a chain.
So you got to just try
to zero in on whoever the most experienced person.
Yeah. One more question about the cabinets, because I didn't ask anything about that. But in general, lately, I've been seeing a lot of clear coated wood, or it looks like, or something like that, or maybe like a light stain. I was kind of thinking about doing that. But do you think it's a bad idea? Like to do something like that's not, is that going to be resellable? Or because like the thing about the paint, I got like white painted the last time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just, you know, just didn't look so good after a while. I mean, maybe the dirt would get on the wood and that would look bad too, but
no, stained cabinets are far more durable than painted cabinets. So painted
cabinets, that's what I think too.
Nick and scratch very easily. The one thing that's good about them is you can have them cleaned and you can have them touched up for maybe $500 in 5 or 10 years. It's polyurethane that's coating the cabinet. You know, that's what's on your floors. So that's way more durable than paint. If you painted your floors and you were walking on your floors, you can just imagine that it's going to nick and scratch easily.
Yeah.
The color is inside the wood because the wood is absorbing the stain. So even if you didn't or hit the cabinet, you know, unless you took a whole chip out of the wood, if you dented the cabinet, it would still be the same color. Painted cabinets last far shorter period of time without really looking beat up.
If you're
looking for a light wood, you could get, like I'm very lazy, so our kitchen is a light maple color. And that's because maple is the hardest wood. So it's the most durable wall. My kitchen's going to last the longest without doing anything. And a light color maple is somewhat timeless. I mean, it's not as popular as painted cabinets right now by any stretch of the imagination. 70% of our sales are painted cabinets.
That's what worries me about going with the wood. But I like the look of the wood so much better now. It's so pretty.
Yeah, get a light color. The only problem with the light colors, it will propel you into a more expensive cabinet brand, most likely.
Because the
wood is usually a higher end. Fabuwood, one of the brands we carry, is coming out with a new light colored door style. I haven't seen it in person yet, only pictures. In pictures, it looks really nice. These inexpensive cabinet brands that do the painted cabinets so well, they're doing it on birch, and birch doesn't stain the birch that they're using, or they're using popular, which is great for painted cabinets, but it doesn't stain that well. So they have it's very difficult for them to come up with, it stains gray very well. So there's a lot of gray stains that they do, but if you wanted a light color wood stain, most of these inexpensive brands don't do that, but
what's a good thing?
You got to go up one rung in the cabinet world. So
all
the cabinets that are all American brands, like for us, we carry Cubitac and Fabuwood. They're two brands that are American companies, but they're importing their doors and fronts and then building the cabinets in the United States. And they're, you know, they're companies that are very reasonable, but they only successfully do gray stains and paints.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't want gray.
Right.
Yeah.
So Fabulwood is coming up with this new door, which I haven't seen in person. Yeah. Maybe they have finally succeeded. We'll find out. But then once you get past that, you got to spend about 20% more to get to a brand like, for us, we carry Timberlake. Timberlake is the same thing that a Lowe's or a Home Depot would carry under. At Lowe's, it would be Shenandoah. At Home Depot, it's called American Woodmark. I think it's also, they rebranded under Allen and Roth too, I think, at Home Depot. They actually have two brands that are the same cabinet. That
really?
Yes. But that's what the cabinet industry does all the time. What?
That's a better brand, you're saying? A higher end than
it's a, well, Fabulwood? It's a more expensive brand, but it's not better made. It's
No. To find the wood that I'm looking
for. Yes. You have to get to that level to find the wood. So you haven't got better made cabinet. The cabinet's made about the same. The surface, the finish on the surface.
Yes.
If you were to get a painted cabinet, it would be a mistake because the Fabulwood actually has a nicer finish on their painted cabinets. But if you want a wood color, you have to go up 20% to get to a brand that's going to have any of the colors that you're going to like. And if you go up a little bit more than 20%, then you go 30% more, then all of a sudden you're going to have a whole lot of different colors and a lot of different woods, and they'll be able to do light stains. The only thing is if you wanted a quarter sawn oak bleached kind of look, they have it like a white oak, quarter sawn oak finish is a very popular finish. That kind of wood and that kind of finish is only going to be available in custom cabinets. So that's going to suddenly be not 20% or 30% more. Now that's going to be 60, 70% more.
Okay.
At least. Actually, more than that.
Yeah.
It's going to be 60 or 70% more for the cabinet brand. But then that kind of wood is an extra 10 or 15% too. So it's going to practically.
Right. Double the price. Yeah. Right. I mean, the thing is like, you know, since this is a townhouse and I don't know, I just don't feel like it's smart to put too much money into it, but you know, whatever. Well, I might just end up doing painted, but you know what I would prefer to have the wood. But you know, if I can't get what I get something that looks really nice, you know, because I mean, like the last cabinets I bought Omega cabinets. Do you know those? Okay. Sure. And I just like they're you know painted white, you know shaker style, and it just ended up looking like plastic. And you know, I just want something that looks like real wood, and I don't quite know what I'm. I know it when I see it, like, but I need to find it. And
you're sure you didn't really get? You shouldn't get a thermofoil cabinet. It was definitely a painted wood, not a foil.
It was definitely a painted wood. I just can't explain it. There was something about those cabinets that just didn't look right, and I have been haunted by it ever since. That was my last kitchen. I did that one maybe 10 years, or yeah, maybe like well eight years ago. And we
the other
sold
thing
our
is,
house, and now we're moving to this place.
So. Omega sells two kinds of cabinets. They sell framed and frameless. So if you got frameless, Omega,
I'm pretty sure it was. No, I'm pretty sure it was framed. It was so, Omega Dynasty.
Omega Dynasty, actually, if it was Omega Dynasty, comes both ways too. If it's framed, I don't know. Maybe it's just the color that they have.
Well, it would have had to have been framed because it was inset.
Oh, if it's inset, yes, it has to be framed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So maybe
anyway, maybe it was just like, maybe it was like the yeah, and then maybe it was like I think maybe the edges were a little beveled, like you know, instead of just being you know like crisp and straight. And I don't know, something about
it.
It
could have been the sheen, too, of the paint. If the paint is a little extra shiny, then it will look more fake.
Yeah. Could have been that, too. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's probably what it was. But anyway, I mean, it didn't ruin it. But I mean, you know, I would like to get something that just looks simple and real is what I want. Something that looks simple and real.
The funny thing is a lot of this stuff, like if you didn't like the paint and it was too shiny, you might have had the option to get it in a different sheen, but then the designer discuss it with you or whatever, and you just pick the thing out, and then you don't realize that's Chris, one of our designers, hates any paint that's got any kind of sheen to it. He likes them very dull. and he doesn't very like matte, any, of the, whatever, yeah. any of the colors that any of the he really, you know, is only happy if customers are getting cabinets that have a lower sheen paint.
Uh-huh.
But
right, yeah. Well, maybe that's what I'm reacting to. It's hard to say, but anyway. So yeah. All right. Well, that's great.
So I'll send you just a hand drawing. It'll be very rough, but you can take the hand drawing and give it to another designer and they can take it off. And then, you know, if a few weeks from now or a month from now or 2 months from now, if you get the whole thing laid out and you want to take another run at it and tweak it again or something, feel free to call back in.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You're the greatest.
No problem. Good talking to you. Thanks for calling in. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Mainline Kitchen Design Podcast with nationally acclaimed kitchen designer Paul McAlary. This podcast was brought to you by Brighton Cabinetry, high-quality custom cabinetry at competitive prices. For more on kitchen cabinets and kitchen design, go to www.mainlinekitchendesign.com.